home.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, on Tuesday night in gorgeous New York City.
It's a Monday night.
Oh, I can't curse. Damn it, I thought it was a Tuesday night.
It's not that short.
It is a short week. Seth and Sean, Sports Radio, getting ready for the big game, the sellout in Detroit. New York versus Buffalo. What else would be playing in Detroit? Seth Kamen and Sean Palmer should have a fun little show tonight. We haven't discussed the dating lives very often over the last year or so, partially because I am, of course, beholden to my wonderful girlfriend, Miss Fink.
Aww.
And we've laid off Sean for a while on this. But
we're going to just jump right back
so
into it.
Before we go into college football and pro football and the battle for my soul, we got to talk about Sean's dating life.
Wait a second. Hold on. Let's understand something, okay? When I got to Carly Fink's apartment today, well, that's the point. I walked in and I said, I am here for Carly Fink, who is the better half of Seth Kamen. Of which the doorman shows me the screen in which Carly's name is there. Next to it, it doesn't say boyfriend. It doesn't say significant other. It says spouse.
Spouse!
Okay, so spouse, and then I come in, and Seth and I are saying to the significant other, Carly, we're going to talk about Sean's dating life. And Carly goes, well, why can't you talk about Seth's dating life? And my response is, because Seth doesn't have a life anymore. His dating life consists of you, and of which you should be thankful. Or at least he should be thankful.
I am quite thankful. But yes, my dating life is relatively non-existent, although we did go to a last yet Lehigh game, the number 150 in the rivalry, where my girlfriend's beloved alma mater led by 300 yards from the running back.
And the third-string quarterback.
And the third-string quarterback.
Reminded you very much of Maryland.
Yes. And what also reminds me is both teams won. As Lafayette beating Lehigh 27-7.
Wait, how do both teams win, Lafayette and Lehigh?
No, and Maryland.
Oh, well, Maryland goes to 108,000 people watch Maryland beat Michigan.
Woo-hoo!
The big house. Which meant 108,000 people want Brady Hoke fired.
That is more than that. Here's the ironic part, and I almost feel sorry for Carly at this point. Maryland suddenly 7-4. And are legit looking at a legitimate bowl game, which could be at Yankee Stadium.
I will not be going.
I will be. And Carly, a wonderful girlfriend, has already stated that, you know what, she's going to go.
I have hand warmers. I will gladly donate the hand warmers to the two of you, and I will be sitting on my tuchus in my apartment watching that. Or I will be on some tropical beach saying hi to the TV. While they're freezing their tuchuses off.
And for those from Maryland who want to come up and stay with us, as I said, I have a very understanding girlfriend.
Or I am renting out my apartment.
Would be another option. And why is the vaudeville act kind of happening tonight? Because for the first time since actually Carly and I have moved in, Sean and myself are doing this from the same apartment. Carly will be calling in later to try and save my NBA soul. We have the Jets game on mute because, well, to be honest, you really need to listen to this game.
But you will hear me remarking about it throughout. And the unfortunate part of this football weekend is that the 7 Sean Sports Radio Show's football team will finally lose a game.
Womp, womp.
But to be fair, we knew this was coming because we had 5 weeks extraordinaire. We are about 1,000 points more than everybody else in the league. So we decided to take the hit, and now we're looking for trade partners for the playoffs. We're gearing up for the playoffs, so if you'd like to call in 760-283-0846, we can talk about the Jets and Michael Vick. We can talk about me and my dating life, which I prefer not to do, but whatever. I'm a sacrificial lamb. We can talk about Seth and the Nets, or the Jazz, or the Bucks, or the Nuggets. Or we can talk about the Syracuse Orangemen, or more importantly, my appearance and my starring appearance on ESPN.
Now, first of all, it is no longer the Syracuse Orangeman. Isn't it just the Syracuse Orange at this
point? I think
I said
the Syracuse Orange, didn't
I? No, you said the Orangeman.
Oh, to those that participated in this alumni band endeavor, none of them were around when it was just the Orange. We were there when there was no political correctness, and it was actually a fun campus. So it was the Syracuse Orange Men. Now it is the Orange. You're absolutely right. So if you turned on ESPN at around, I don't know, it was probably around 6 o'clock on 6, 7 o'clock on Friday night, you saw my mug plastered all over ESPN, dancing with Dick Vitale. And the game has started, and as usual, the Jets get to the 14-yard.
Now, to be fair, if you had your choice of seeing Sean, a single mid-30s guy in good shape, dancing, or Dick Vitale, a guy in his late 70s who probably doesn't remember a tune since the Motown era, well, most of us would still rather watch Dick Vitale.
But it was a fun idea. Look, we had a great time, and I'll speak more about this at the end of the show. But anyway, we had a great time. Syracuse goes 1-1, and we're not really a tournament team. I mean, I think I've come to the understanding that this team is not a tournament team. We do not have the scoring capabilities. We don't have anybody that's a go-to guy. And it's the first time we lost in New York, and I can't even imagine how long.
And we already have a caller.
Awesome.
So you're on with Seth and Sean.
Greetings.
Hello.
Seth and Sean. This is Evan from
Hello, Mr. Lipton.
So I have so many things to say. I'm going to start with number one, your
the
game
Survivor
on mute.
Series.
Nope, game on mute. Oh. Start with the game that you are watching on mute. I think it would have been much more entertaining for the fans to watch this game take place in the Carrier Dome on ice.
Couldn't happen. Couldn't happen.
Three hockey games at the Carrier Dome this weekend. Number one. And number two, the only way this game would be fun is if it was on Super Tecmo Bowl. Short of that, there's nothing that makes this game interesting. Or playing in the snow.
No, listen.
There are a lot of problems with putting this in the Carrier Dome. Number one is the fact there were three hockey games in one.
Talking right over me. I love it.
So continue, Mr. Lipton.
Thank you. You put the game on ice, as in on the rink. Nobody cares who wins this game, except for the people who are now building arcs in Buffalo, okay? Preparing for the great flood. Hold on, not done yet. You put it on ice. You allow the fans to finally see what NFL hits would look like if it really took place on ice. That's what I say.
So
a little blades of steel and a little blitz. And a little
sports. Blades of steel meets NFL blitz.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well,
anyway.
I care about this game. I care about this game. There is somebody that does for many different reasons. Number one,
it's a battle for New York.
I am a Jets fan. Hey, who's talking over who?
Wait.
I am a Jets
fan.
I will always be a Jets fan. That's number one. Unlike my partner in crime that has disavowed his teams, I will always be a Jets fan. Your Brooklyn Nets. So I will always be a Jets fan.
My hits are Brooklyn Nets.
Not you. I said my partner, you. That's not you. That's him.
I'm glad you have a partner, Sean.
Two,
for you.
I do have fantasy stats riding on this game. I actually have Kyle Orton in one team playing. And we also have Bryce Brown, who we hope goes for 60 points. And if he goes for 60 points, the Seth and Sean Sports Radio Show team wins again. And knowing our luck this week, this year, he probably will. Continue on, Sir Lipton.
Thank you. I have two more points. And then I'll hang up. And I didn't say before, second time caller, long time fan of the show. Now, my second point, you mentioned the letters ODB in the opening of the show. Would you guys allow me to tell a quick story?
I mentioned what letters?
I did.
ODB.
Please. For those of you who have not heard the story, this is actually a gasser. Please.
I'm going to try to tell it as succinctly as possible without leaving.
Oh, wait, Sean's a little bit confused. On the Facebook where I post it, because I only have 140 characters, I put comment ODB for Odell.
Oh,
Beckham.
Yeah, yeah.
Or old dirty bastard, however you want to do it.
And not only the rapper, but also a female wrestler who I thought people were saying ODB last night. I'm like, wait, you guys are watching Survivor Series too? But clearly they were watching something different. Now, here's the story. When you guys were talking about teams and loyalty and who you want, it came very clear to me. I was born a Mets Giants guy. I'm going to die a Mets Giants guy. That's just the way it is. Mets and New York football Giants. True blue, whatever it is. So I decided, watching of games, and the only highlights that I've seen from the Giants, aside from Eli Manning throwing to the other team 5-6 times a game, is Odell Beckham. He seems to be this spark plug, this guy with amazing hands, rookie, all that stuff. I said, I want an Odell Beckham jersey. I think it would be kind of cool, the number 13, the cool number, and all that stuff. I go into my local Modell's in Staten Island. This is a New York City sporting goods retailer.
No, it's Staten Island. It's not New York.
I understand the whole stepchild thing of the city. But anyway, so I go in and I say, I would like a Beckham jersey. And I'm all excited, because I've lost a little weight and I can actually almost fit into, normal size. So I say, Beckham jersey, please. And the girl looks at me straight face. She goes, we don't sell a soccer jersey. So I'm like, no, not bend it like Beckham, but Odell Beckham Jr. Maybe I mumbled or stammered through the Beckham. Because, that's what I do. I don't talk well. And she said, I don't know who you're talking about. So I looked over at, there was another gentleman with the Modell shirt on. And I said, could you inform your coworker who the best player on the Giants is at this moment? He looked at me. He goes, Eli something? And I said, I'm going to go upstairs and talk to a manager. So I go upstairs. I talk to a manager. Who sort of kind of has heard the name Beckham before. They don't carry it. I could order it online if I want to. I said, well, thank you so much. But in closing, I'd like a flex fit Giants hat. I could rep my Giants love that way without the whatever. So this third incompetent employee in a sporting goods store in New York City turns around. And I figured he's wondering if I want white or blue. That seems to be a normal
Evan,
question.
It's only an hour show.
Get to the point. Anyway, long story short,
too late.
He tries to give me a blue, red, white, and blue Yankee hat. He doesn't know the logo of the Giants.
Okay, so basically you confirm what I said before. Staten Island is not New York.
Fair enough. Anyway, wearing the Beckham jersey now very proudly and had a good time walking in there today, kind of poking fun at, you guys didn't know who he was. Now, how many do you have? He said, the day after you were in here, we got 250 by FedEx.
Of course.
Okay, point three, would be about the Survivor Series?
Survivor Series and my love of fantasy wrestling and wrestling in general. I don't have to tell a story here. I will just make the statement.
Please don't.
That last night was the single greatest wrestling event, sports entertainment event, probably since Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon fought on a ladder in like WrestleMania 10. It was the best. It kept you guessing. Most people. It had surprises. It has a return of a guy named Sting. And I do fantasy wrestling, and people laugh about that because...
oh, we are. Let's understand. You're doing fantasy sports about a fantasy event.
But do you know the results?
I don't care.
Neither do I.
And
all
you'll
I can
be able
do
to see this in the next couple of weeks when Evan Lipton premieres his podcast, whether on backsportspage.com radio, blog talk radio. Sean has a face of utter panic now.
No. I have a face of utter joy because I really think that Mr. Lipton would do a great half-hour podcast on wrestling.
Let me plug it. I'm going to plug it, and then I'm going to say, keep up the amazing work. You guys are the best in the industry at what you do.
Please do not plug anything.
No plugging. I'm off. You guys are the best ever. Love you immensely. Sean, dating life, I'll talk to you about that off the air. Goodbye.
Okay. Thanks so much, Mr. Lipton. We are hoping to get him soon on a podcast near you. For pure entertainment reasons, he can talk for a half hour without taking a breath. Sure. Before we go on to the football and everything else going on, let me explain the fight. Oh, also 7-0 Bills as they score on a Kyle Orton touchdown pass.
which has me a little confused because I need Kyle Lorton to do well, and I just also want the Jets. So it's got me a little bit two-faced. But okay, continue.
Okay. So as many of you know, every year, I'm a New Jersey fan. I'm a New Jersey Nets fan. And have been for many, many years. And every year since we started the show, which we go back, I guess, now 3 years, give or take, Sean, we're probably about 150 shows. We're about 3 zillion behind Francesa. But yeah, so much better.
Wait, but we're almost in simulcast. And we're almost in syndication. 100 shows get syndication for TV, so I'm assuming 200 is probably syndication for radio. We could be like Einstein.
Except with talent?
And political correctness.
Not much of that.
No.
Anyway, so the last 3 years, we have done a vote on the radio show for a team for me to root for. Because Nets having moved to Brooklyn, I've lost a little bit of my mojo for this team. So I've had the Bucks, I've had the Jazz. This year, I have the Nuggets. Carly, Miss Fink, is known to, the love of my life, is a devoted Nets fan. And she has decided...
Wait, but she's from New York, correct?
No, she is from New Jersey. She has decided that this is not acceptable. So she has decided to come up with a retort to my elections of other teams, to be voted for on other teams. So I have decided to give my NBA soul. I will have the choice, and people can vote in. Coming on the phone now, the head of Provoke Insights, my wonderful girlfriend, eventual fiance and wife, as she has a big smile on her face over that one. And there ain't no spouse yet. Miss Carly Fink. Hi, babe.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, she is, to give you an idea, she is 4 feet away from both Sean and myself. Sean, I will allow you a retort on yours. I expect you to be gentle because Carly's tough, actually. She'll be able to handle herself quite nicely.
I'm not sure. Sean is quite tough when it comes to sports, and we all know, besides the Nets, what other teams are like in sports.
None.
Nah. I literally learned this year what red zone means. Now that Beth has moved in, I have football permanently on Saturday and Sunday. It's a whole new world for me.
And yet she puts up with me. Honey, the floor is yours.
All right. So I am very upset that you are now cheering. What's your team this year?
The Nuggets.
The Nuggets. I am a devoted Nets fan. My family's a devoted Nets fan. So I want to win your soul back for the Nets. Is that okay, sweetie?
The board is yours.
All right. So I'm going to talk about this. And please, Howard, so do you give him the phone?
Sean will report at the end. She will not interrupt.
All right. So first of all, we have Mason Plumlee, right? He's young. He's 24 years old. So yes, why are you laughing at me?
Should I think he's cute?
Well, he's got a lot of potential long term. He's healthy, yeah. He's tall, and he was up for Rookie of the Year last year.
You cannot teach height, and he is on Match.com for those who've seen the videos. I have no idea. Continue, please.
So we have the second set of a twin who was from Stanford on the Nets, Brooke Lopez. The first Stanford twin was Jason Collins from Stanford. And, you know, it might not be the most amazing thing, but it's an interesting fact, and I think it's important to note that, and I think it makes the Nets an interesting team.
Point three.
We actually have a coach that knows how to coach. Well, last year it was okay. We have a white beater. This year,
well,
this year we have someone who's been coaching since 1985.
That was better homework.
Even better, this year has improved greatly because no longer do we have that horrible mascot of the Nets, Fly was wonderful. The Dragon was wonderful. But that night guy had to go. He was awful. And so they got rid of him. So it's a major thing to say, yes, I am back for the next.
Is that all you got?
No. Oh, no, I have more. Andre has a mullet, and that's great to watch while you watch that.
Andre Cherwinko.
Yeah, he's Austin Mullet. Well, no, he's a Smith. They might train him, but he's still there. He can still watch his Mullet. I would make you a bet on $100 and never play some pictures. All right, fair enough. We have a very wealthy Russian guy who put as much money as possible into our team to help improve it in the next coming years.
We have Russian Mafia. We supposedly have Russian Mafia.
And we also have New York City Royalty as part of the owners. We have Beyonce and Jay-Z as part of the owners.
No, they're doing King and Queen.
They're definitely King and Queen of New York City. Are you kidding me? Anyway, you go see there and you sit there and you're actually at all the games. You look around, it's a free flip over and just see that. And they can see it because they've been on Jersey. Maybe, who knows? So, other thing that's really cool is actually Barclays Center. The initial design was done by Frank Gehry.
That's pretty cool. I'm not sure what that has to do with.
The food at the center as well, if you go to the game, it's all local based and it's not Aramex. So it's nice, healthy, and actually the freaking cheesecake, and they also have lots of meat dishes there as well.
You know how I do on my feet. Not like that.
Unlike the Jersey, okay. Similar to you, Seth, you used to live in New Jersey and you moved to New York.
Yeah.
It's the same migration pattern. We should take that as a you can just leave to stand up New Jersey. You left New Jersey too. Does that make you want to be for the York family?
I hope not. I'm on the radio with my potential family. So if I admit, say yes, where am I going with this conversation?
All right. I have a little bit more. Okay. There's two more things. They're much easier to get to than the Meadowlands. You have 2, 3, 4, 5, B, B, N, Q, and R.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's the only sport that I love, my family loves, and my brother actually won the halftime ranking in the middle, so he loves that as well. In New Jersey. So he's still fans. Oh, and you realize he's not the man. So there we go. The end.
Okay. Where do I start here? Well, okay, the falling in love, I'll just puke. And let's just say that right now.
Okay,
that's start number one. Number two, he can go to Lenny's and get better cheesecake than he can at the. Oh yes, Lenny's. Lenny says great cheesecake. Not those. Not that Lenny's. There's a Lenny's right next to Ray's Pizza on the west side. Yes, there's Lenny's. You can go to Junior's and get great cheesecake. Spot on. It just costs twice as much. Anyway, my point is that you stay true to your roots. Now, I do understand that Seth probably should be a New Jersey Nets or Brooklyn Nets fan. If the Islanders moved to New Jersey, I would probably still be an Islanders fan.
With the same pass.
Probably. If they moved to Kansas City, I wouldn't be, because that's a little bit different. However, calling it spade to spade, look, I enjoy the poll every year, so I'm not just going to give it up. I mean, I like that he became a Jazz fan. I like that he followed the Jazz and Derek Favors. I like that he became a Nets fan, Nuggets fan, when he probably knows only three people on the whole team.
I got the
yes, you did. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Who's going to be more fine to relatively?
a purple jersey. Okay, so for our fellow listeners, when we do the poll next year, please vote for the Bucks. Oh, no, no, no. You can absolutely go out. You get 10 choices, which you don't like, and you'd like to put the Bucks in there. You're more than welcome to do it. And I seriously think that the gorilla should be from Phoenix, should be a guest. Absolutely. Okay. So we're gonna get off the concept of Seth becoming a Nets fan, become reinvigorating himself to the Nets, and let's start talking about real sports because we have 24 minutes.
Let's give our guests a little bit of problem.
You say give our guest. And her PR presentation on this will be acquitted on Sports Broad Talk Radio and our sports site.
Thank you.
Okay, if you'd
like
to call in.
This will be kind of a different show tonight. So if anyone wants to call in and back my girlfriend, or I may, well, never have sex again, 760-283-0846. Girlfriend.
Anyway, okay, so just to give you a little update on the game, 5:33 left in the first quarter. The Jets went 3-and-out twice. They're now getting the ball for the third time. Percy Harvin picking up the ball, going right. Ooh, sees a block. Oh, and
there's
a flag.
And a fumble. Welcome to New York Jets 2013-14.
Actually, it was Jeremy Curley. And the fumble goes out of bounds, but there was a flag, so I'm sure it's coming back. Speaking of football, how on earth did the Falcons lose that game yesterday?
Because Mike Smith decided he didn't want to have any job security. The idea of calling a timeout with 30 seconds left on the shot clock, excuse me, left. I'm a little bit still flustered from this whole discussion about my soul. I think this confirms whether Atlanta wins this horrendous division or not.
He's out.
They could have had the same field goal with 20 seconds left. And then coach, Pettine, you know, also ball clock errors. I don't understand how you can become a head coach and not understand the basic math that goes with this. Atlanta blowing a game they should have won, and yet they're 4-7 and still tied for first.
Yeah, because if New Orleans loses tonight, Atlanta will still be in first place at 4-7 because they haven't lost a game in the division. They're actually they have 4 wins in the division and 7 games out of the division. So talking about coaches that probably will not be back, Mike Smith being one of them, is the coach of your beloved New York and Evan Lipton's New York Football Giants now done?
Actually, I don't think so.
3-8.
Here is the problem I see.
3-8.
I agree. I'm not saying it's not warranted, but here's the problem. You just bring in a new coach, a new offensive coordinator. You have some offensive talent, which has been injured the entire year. I have never been a big Coughlin guy. Look, he won 2 Super Bowls. I can't complain. He's pretty much earned his right to retire at his volition up to a certain point. My gut is more and more thinking they're going to give him 1 more year to try and turn this around. I have a feeling Jerry Reese may be gone. But it's a really, really... I'm not saying it's not warranted. They've really been uncompetitive the last couple of years. But I don't know. I'm starting to think he's actually going to survive, unless they completely fold down the stretch.
Well, there are two things that I see here. One, if Jerry Reese is gone, then Coughlin's gone to me. I don't think you can hire a new GM without a new coach.
Fair enough.
The second thing is, I agree that they just brought in a new offensive coordinator. And I think they're grooming that guy. I think he's the new head coach. I think McAdoo's been...
I like him, to be honest.
I think McAdoo, because for the same reason you just said it, they're not going to put in a new offensive system. They just put in this one. McAdoo has been a rising offensive coordinator, first a quarterback coach, then offensive coordinator with the Green Bay. Now he's risen to the offensive coordinator spot with the Giants. And in the last couple of weeks, you know what? The offenses look pretty good. I mean, aside from Eli Manning throwing a horrible pick again last night, look, Seth and I, over the course of the years, have said this. Eli will throw two bad passes all game, two horrendous passes all game. If those are picked off, then the Giants lose. If those fall incomplete, generally the Giants win. And last night, those were picked off, and the Giants lost. And they did, I mean, aside from Odell Beckham, who looked fantastic, Rashard Jennings, who looked great in the fourth quarter, maybe not the whole game, but great in the fourth quarter, they looked mediocre. I mean,
they
this is
mediocre.
Not a good game.
No, but here's the question. They're tight. You know, you look at the team. It almost sounds like the weakness of that offense right now is the offensive line and Eli Manning.
Well, but Eli Manning's not getting any time because of the offensive
But
line.
The interceptions, he had some time. The interception of Barry Church in the end zone where they could have gone up 14 or could have gone up 10 was inexcusable. That was a touchdown. But this is now 2 years in a row where Eli has really looked flat. And the problem is when you're paying a guy $20 million a year, $19 million a year. Yes, go back. I'm in the background. I don't know what you do. The defense looks very mediocre. They've been beset by injuries. And they looked good in the first half and got tired in the fourth quarter. DeMarco, you know, at the end of the day, Dallas is a more talented team.
Absolutely. And Tony Romo did something last night that Tony Romo has been lambasted for his whole career. He came through in a big situation. I mean, look, he found Dez Bryant. Now,
he had
13
seconds.
Agreed. But look, Eli had 7 seconds and threw it into the arms of Barry Church. So it's not like 7 seconds buys you a touchdown every time. He found the right guy. So you got to give Romo some credit here. In fact, I give Romo a lot of credit. He's playing with two broken bones in his back. I mean, at the end of the day, he's played incredible for the last couple of weeks. DeMarco Murray is still throwing it down. Witten's still there. And the defense is coming up. Did they give up almost 30 points last night? Sure. It's not a top defense, but it's a palatable defense. So, I mean, the game against the Eagles on Thursday is going to be awesome. It's the 4 o'clock game. If you're eating turkey, eat at 12. Because the 12 o'clock game, which is Detroit and Chicago, is the one that you'd probably want to miss. Then you got Philly and Dallas, and then you got Seattle going to San Francisco, which I think is a phenomenal game.
It is, and I'll be trying to watch with my buddy from San Francisco for that. I unfortunately have a 4 o'clock early bird dinner, and it's not at someone's house. So I will unfortunately be missing most of that game. But know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of 2 years ago, the greatest play in the history of Thanksgiving. Not Randy Moss. No. The greatest play of all time.
Leon Lett? That's the greatest play.
That is the second greatest Thanksgiving play of all time. The greatest Mr. Palmer was actually at my house for
that. Oh, no. The Butt Fumble is not the best play
the
of all
fumble.
Time.
The only play I've ever seen that rendered my father to tears of laughter.
And me to walk out
and
of
Sean
the house.
To walk out of my house. And now, of course, Mark Sanchez is starting for the division-leading Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay, so you've watched a couple of the Eagles games, I'm sure, mm-hmm. since Sanchez has played, especially yesterday's game, where he looked really good. Okay, he did. That's not the same Mark Sanchez that was in New York. It's not the same team he had in New York. He's got a lot more weapons there than he ever did in New York. He's got a better offensive line than he ever did in New York, except for the first 2 years.
Yeah.
So for all those Philadelphia Eagles fans, they're saying, oh, well, look at what you gave us. This is not the same guy. This is like this is like when you grow older and your mother becomes a grandmother and she becomes this sweet, benevolent person that everybody loves. And you go, that is not the woman that I grew up with. That is not the man that quarterbacked my team.
No. But anyone who's watched an iota of Jets football, ooh, and as Mr. Vic almost gets intercepted in the end zone, Sanchez had to go. His salary was enormous. Philly signed him as a backup. Remember, Mark Sanchez played against Chip. I mean, I don't know if he played against Chip Kelly. Not when he was. I don't know if he was at Oregon at that point, but he was at least. Kelly was aware of him. It may have been before he went and became the head coach of Oregon. I don't remember the exact time frame. But he's assigned to a 2-year deal worth like $2 or $3 million. You know, when the Jets signed him to a $10 million contract, $10 million 1-year extension. You know, he's not someone who could have lived up to that expectation when the team went to 2 AFC title games. Remember, this was a running team with a great defense.
And the other thing is that you are able, when you have a quarterback that's only earning $500,000 or $2 million, much the same way as the Eagles do with Nick Foles and now Sanchez, instead of paying a quarterback $20 million, is that you have the ability to build around that quarterback. So when Chip Kelly says, I can win with any quarterback, that's an advantage that many teams don't have. And you look around the league, the teams that have those top quarterbacks that are earning $20 to $25 million, if they have injuries, they're in trouble. So if you look at, like, the Broncos, if the Broncos have injuries, they don't have a backup to Emmanuel Sanders. They don't have a backup. Julian Thomas's backup is Jacob Tandy. That's a huge downgrade. If they lose to Marcus Ware, they don't have a backup that fills that void. They don't have the money to go out and do that. The guy that does right now, you look at Indianapolis with Andrew Luck, he's on his rookie contract, and they're able to do that. So that's the way it works in the NFL. And you kind of see that with the Giants, and not to come back, but Eli's got a $20 to $25 million contract. They can't spend on the offensive line the way that they used to.
No.
And they have a 16. They have Will Beattie, who has a huge deal at right tackle.
And has been a bust since he signed the deal.
Been a bust. Chris Snee had to retire, who had a couple of million still on the cap. They have a lot of dead weight on that cap due to retirement to cut. John Beeson is hurt on the defense, and he signed a pretty big deal.
So is Walter Thurman, is out for the year, signed this year. They've been decimated by injuries. Now
and you lose depth.
Yes.
Then you lose depth when you have big-time players that get hurt, and you have dead money on the cap. And that's – oh, I love this picture, by the way, if you're looking at CBS right now, watch –
Is that Brian Kreider trying to push his car out of the
– No, but that is Buffalo. And for all those people that don't believe me when I say I went through some of that in Syracuse, now, we didn't get 7 feet of snow, but we certainly got 4 and 5. That's a lot of snow. That's a really lot of snow. Really lot? That is – a lot.
And if anyone wants to contribute, text 90999 to the Red Cross for whatever, as Buffalo recovers from 5.5 feet. Brian Kreider, a good friend, a diehard Buffalo sports fan, which is always difficult for anyone between the Bills and the Sabres. It has not been an easy place.
I'll tell you right now, the one thing that you can get in Buffalo is the wagons. They are definitely circling. Even in the
snow. Did we just quote Chris Berman?
Absolutely.
Is that what we're reduced to?
No, but here comes Kyle Orton and those Buffalo Bills.
And Steve Tasker reporting on it, of course, because he's probably the best part on the Bills team outside of Sammy Watkins.
Still.
Yeah. A couple other points. If someone can explain the AFC North, I'd love to hear it. You have four teams all with 7 wins right now.
Potential. Because Baltimore plays nine.
You will have one team at 7-3-1 and three teams at 7-4. 7-4. Cincinnati wins again. Beating Houston 22-13, Ryan Mallett out for the year. It was a nice game while it lasted. It was a good pickup for us for no time.
For a dollar.
Well,
it's better than Bryce Brown, who he picked up for $40 and hasn't had more than 3 points.
Not the best
week.
Move we've ever made.
But he is in the game right now.
Is Robert Griffin out of Washington?
Absolutely.
What happened?
I think him? Well, here's the thing. So, if he doesn't get, there goes Bryce Brown. Look at Bryce Brown. Anyway, if he doesn't improve on what he's doing right now, Jay Gruden has distanced himself from Robert Griffin. Absolutely has distanced himself. He goes, look, he may start, he may not start. While the other coaches It was the Robert Griffin show. I mean, no doubt. So by the second week after the season, the Redskins have to pick up or decline the option on 2016. And that will say a lot of whether he will be back or not. Now, the option, I believe, is about $12 million.
Which is about average for a starting NFL quarterback.
Agreed, but it's not average for a guy that's played four games in the last 20.
Yeah.
And that's where he's at. So can you – I mean, we said this last year, right? We said this about Michael Vick. We said this about running quarterbacks in general. It works at the college level because there are 118 to 150 teams. I don't know the exact number of teams, but there are good players. There are decent players, and then there are Division II Lafayette players. Where
Ross Sherman, who will be starting for an NFL running, is a NFL running back sometime in the near future.
Okay.
I'm laughing as I say that, people.
They do not have the speed that NFL players have. When you bring it in, when you bring it down to the 32 teams in the NFL, you're compilating the best of the best from 150 different schools. And the speed of the game is so much better, so much faster, that these option quarterbacks are not the fastest guys on the team anymore,
no.
Or the fastest guy in the game, and they're going to get hit, and they're going to get hit a lot. And it just doesn't work in the NFL. It worked for a year.
It also is contingent on certain. You can have a quarterback who can run. That is not the issue. Aaron Rodgers can actually run. Andrew Luck can run. Peyton Manning can't run.
But they're not running.
But they're not
quarterback.
Running. Their game is not contingent on the run.
Donovan McNabb said it best one time. He goes, yeah, I'm a quarterback that can run, but I'm not a running quarterback.
Right.
And the difference between Robert Griffin and Donovan McNabb is huge. First of all, Donovan McNabb, by the time he got into the pros, was 6'5 and 240 pounds. Or 6'3 and 240 pounds. He was a big boy. Robert Griffin's about 210, and he's lanky. And you just can't take the hits. I mean, Michael Vick learned that too. He runs out of bounds more now than he ever did before. And Orton going deep, Sammy.
That looked like a Steve Grogan Super Techno Bowl from New England Patriots who were 1-15 pass right there. That was a wobbler. And so what happens, though? Because here is the other question. Now, Robert Griffin... Pretty much Daniel Snyder made a decision. You had to keep either Mike Shanahan or Robert Griffin. You couldn't keep both. Mike Shanahan, you know my feelings on Mike Shanahan. I've really not been secretive about it.
I think he'll be the next coach of the Chicago Bears, though.
Is that what they're talking already?
That's what I'm thinking.
They bring in Jay Gruden, who I thought was a dubious choice, to say the least. When you're saying that he led the Cincinnati Bengals offense, that is not exactly a ringing endorsement. You brought Andy Dalton to approximately mediocrity, maybe a little above, maybe a little below, depending on the drive almost. I don't think that provides you with a head coaching acumen or a head coaching leadership.
So you think he got the job because they couldn't get John?
I have no idea why he got the job. And I said that when he got the job. So now you're in a difficult situation where you have Gruden almost turned. Whether Gruden has turned the team against Griffin or Griffin has done it on himself, I don't know. But Gruden, at worst, has really thrown Griffin under the bus. And you're looking at a situation: are they going to draft another quarterback? Are they going to break Sean's heart and draft Brett Hundley, who's actually played very well over the last few weeks? As they
don't draft Hundley, he's my boy.
The Redskins, for as storied franchise as they were during the 70s, 80s, and 90s, wow, that was just one awful pass by Michael Vick. This is a team the last 20 years, which has been in a cycle of, just in a perpetual cycle of not even mediocrity. I think they have won two playoff games in 20 years. I don't know what the answer is, but Jay Gruden, I don't think, is the one who's going to get you there.
Well, okay. So what's the most important thing to have in the NFL? And that's players.
Yes.
Right? A coach can only do so much. You can only coach up talent.
Okay.
Right? And I say that as a Jets fan because
you have no
I don't
talent.
Think the Jets have had offensive talent in 10 years. Legitimate offensive talent in 10 years. And Rex Ryan can coach up the defense because I think they do have defense talent.
Yes.
I don't think they have much offensive talent, if any, offensive talent. So I'd say that as a Jets. You look at the Giants, right? Giants had good defenses. Perry Fuel coached up the team.
Yes.
When the talent went away, now you're calling for Perry Fuel's head because he can't coach up talent that's not there. Okay?
Agreed.
The Redskins, until this year, really didn't have much talent.
No.
Okay?
This year?
By getting Robert Griffin, they actually traded away most of that talent. They traded away five starting players. Peter King pointed out today in the Monday Morning Quarterback. Five legitimate starters. If you look at Atlanta, when they traded up for Julio Jones and spent those draft picks. Now you're looking at Robert Griffin and spending those draft picks. When you trade up draft picks, it doesn't generally work.
No, you lose depth. I mean, the Herschel Walker trade is obviously as good an example as any.
The only trade where I think it actually worked in trading draft picks, believe it or not, was for Mark Sanchez. Because they traded a bunch of bench players and one extra pick to move up, I think it was 14 spots. Okay. Well, if you know what you have already, they traded an Abraham Elam,
a
guy that's right.
A backup safety.
They traded up their backup guy. They traded depth. They didn't trade draft picks. Draft picks are the unknown. And draft picks are cheap depth, too. And getting back to the renaissance of the salary cap, in which you have to deal with younger players that are on cheap contracts. And the Giants just don't have those. I mean, Odell Beckham's the one guy that's on a cheap contract right now. The Jets don't have those. All the Falcons have none of them. I mean, if you look at the Falcons team, there is a great disparity between the top 10 and everybody else. I think they have like $40 million on the injured reserve. That's a lot of money. Their whole offensive line's on the injured reserve. So that's a lot of money. So that's where it comes down to. So is it Jay Gruden's fault? In my opinion, I don't believe it is.
Probably not, but he's also not a coach. I didn't think he was a coach that was ready to take on that responsibility to begin with. And now this is a team with get talent, and talent takes more than 1 year to mesh.
Sure.
The Cleveland Cavaliers are as good example of that as
any. Yeah, they're 5-7. And they have more talent than probably anybody in the Eastern Conference. But here's my other question. We were talking about Ben McAdoo before, right? Does he deserve this job? Say Coughlin leaves. Does he deserve the job? Because based on what he's done this year, he doesn't.
No.
Right? But sometimes you have to take a risk on that coordinator, like Mike Tomlin.
Yes.
Okay?
But McAdoo had led a team, again, a team with talent, as an offense coordinator in Green Bay. Was he the quarterback coach in Green Bay? And he helped make Aaron Rodgers what Aaron Rodgers is.
Jay Gruden helped Andy Dalton. And I'm not saying
but it's not the same hemisphere.
Power, right?
Yeah. But you also look at, again, the Giants is a little bit misleading. Their best receiver out for the year by game four. Rashad Jennings out the season. Odell Beckham out a good month and a half. I'm more willing, and again, I'm a Giants fan, so obviously it's a little biased. The Redskins, as far as I know, DeSean Jackson hasn't been hurt. Pierre Garçon hasn't been hurt.
Yes, Pierre Garçon,
no, he just hasn't done anything. Alfred Morris, I think, was he hurt? Or just was out for him, didn't do much. Andre Roberts hasn't done much.
But that all revolves around the quarterback, right? Yeah. The quarterback is the key position in the NFL.
Yes.
If you don't have a good quarterback, example, New York Jets, you don't go anywhere.
20 years.
You don't go anywhere. It's just that simple. I mean, I've said this many times over the last 10 years. Why can't the Jets suck when there's a luck? We just can't suck when there's a luck. We just suck every other year.
Oh, look, there'll be three quarterbacks potentially in the top 10.
But I don't want any of them because none of them are franchise players. And we got 10 minutes to go, so we should talk about that a little bit, especially Jameis Winston arm-barring an official.
Evan, do you have any thoughts on the
armbar? He basically did a clothesline, Evan. So Seth, should he? I think he should have been booted out of that game.
It's a 50-50 call. I think he should have been as well. I understand the reticence to do it, but I was I didn't see, no, I didn't see this live. I was at the Lafayette Lehigh game, go Leopards. And it was, okay, you can put your arm down, honey. It was, it was not something I anticipate. I would, under different circumstances, unfortunately, I'm not saying it's right. I think he would have been kicked out. It was ridiculous. And once again, Jameis Winston, at some point you can't give people the benefit of the doubt. And unfortunately, he's lost the benefit of the doubt every step of the way over the last year and year and a half.
Is there any team that's been more underwhelming than the Florida State Seminoles this year?
Michigan.
I mean, they're, well, okay, fair enough. Well, that's only because they lost the Terps.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay.
But the fact is, they're still number three in the country, if not number two, right?
They're two or three, depending on where you're going with it. The problem is this, and it's not even a problem. It's a very, actually, it's a very simple situation. If they have Florida next week, who will probably play relatively inspired with Will Muschamp being fired, and then they have a really, really awkward ACC title game against Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech plays the triple option. You know who played the triple option? Georgia Tech in 1920 played the trade, and Navy plays it. It's a very awkward offense. And the way Florida State has played, I would not be entirely shocked if they lost either of these games. Now, if they lose either, they have no chance to make the playoff. I don't care if they've won 26 in a row. They have not beaten a legitimately good team this year. And what you're looking at is a very interesting situation where Oregon, if Alabama and Oregon win out, they make it. If Florida State makes it, runs out, they make it. The fourth seed is completely, no one has a clue who gets the fourth seed. There are four teams in the running right now, maybe five. And it's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out. And this is a great, great weekend of college football. And while I love my girlfriend very much, I'm very happy that she will be in Mexico. So I can sit on my, if it doesn't snow, so I can sit on my couch, eat nachos, drink beer, and watch all these games.
Woo-hoo!
There you go.
Okay. So, the Heisman Trophy last week, you said the guy from Wisconsin propel himself into the Heisman, get the Heisman Trophy because of 400 and X yards. Well, does the guy from Nebraska now get the Heisman Trophy?
The guy, you're talking about the guy from Oklahoma.
So. Oklahoma, he didn't even start.
Nope.
He got that many yards.
Well, here's the. Yeah, Lafayette's not getting the Heisman Trophy. What will happen is that, first of all, Melvin Gordon, number one, didn't play in the fourth quarter against Nebraska. And although Nebraska is always as mediocre and Phil Sweeney has to be gone at this point, Wisconsin did beat a top 25 team. Oklahoma beat Kansas. I'm not sure I couldn't get 50 people from this apartment complex to beat Kansas. I think right now you're almost looking at a dead heat between Melvin Gordon and Marcus Mariota. The difference being Mariota has Oregon State, which is difficult, and then probably UCLA, where they will be televised. Remember, a lot of people don't see Oregon play.
Sure.
Because they're up, they're playing until 2 o'clock in the morning. I think
only Seth sees
only
Oregon
I watch
play.
That because the lovely Miss Fink is asleep 2 hours before that. I think right now you have Mariota 1, Gordon 2. I don't think there's anyone close other than those two.
Okay. So 470 yards doesn't get you anything against Kansas.
No, not really.
It's still a lot of running.
It's an incredible job, and I think it may be Bob Stoops' last great moment at Oklahoma. I don't think he stays. I think he goes somewhere. My guess will be Florida.
See, and I don't think he goes to Florida, but we'll see. But the Jets make a stand. Definitely did not get that one. But it looks, I mean, how do you feel if you're Melvin Gordon and you don't get the Heisman? So, let's see here. For 60 some odd years, there was one 400 yard game, and then he gets the first one in like 20 years, and that lasts all of 6 days.
Welcome to the new world of records.
Seriously, records were made to be broken, but
not
6 days later.
Not that quick.
Not 6 days later, but and especially by a backup.
And we'll talk a lot of college football next week because I think after the bowl games, we only have 5 or 6 minutes, and there's some baseball I want to kind of talk a little bit about. I get a strange look.
I know. That's like me talking about soccer, but I do understand.
Well, I think there are some points that need to be made. Hanley Ramirez and Pablo Sandoval both going to the Red Sox.
We only get on the air when there are signings, folks. I mean, last time it was Giancarlo Stanton. But, yeah, they have a lot of outfielders on that team. I think they're gearing up for a trade for Cole Hamels. I think they're going to trade Cepedes, and I think they're going to trade Bogaerts. And I think they're both going to go. I think Hanley is going to play shortstop.
Who played shortstop more recently, Hanley or A-Rod?
Hanley played it last year. But we'll touch a little bit more about the signings next week. Again, we only have 5 minutes.
One of it, Kyle Seager, $100 million?
$100 million. Well worth it.
Really?
Well worth it. Look, that's $14 million a year. He got 7 years at $100 million. For a guy that has batted as well as he has in that lineup, it is a worthwhile investment because you bought out the last 3 years of arbitration and the first 4 years of free agency. That's a pretty big deal for him. Okay, so we got 4 minutes left. I'll go first. So, like I said, this past week I had the pleasure of playing with the Syracuse University pep band, the alumni pep band, and it didn't dawn on me until today that will probably be the last time I ever play my horn in public, because I didn't even think I was going to get that opportunity. It's been 16 years since I played, and
Have you improved?
No. I wasn't very good back then. I'm not very good now, but that's okay when you're in the pep band because you have people that are just blaring, and it works out well. And to Ray Kim, to Jeff Haas, to George Gross, to Russell Ford, to Evan Lipton, and all my brethren that took place with me and helped me you know what? It was a dream. It was pretty cool to see Dick Vitale dancing with me, and you can catch that on Facebook all over, because it seemed like the minute that happened, everybody at work was emailing me and saying, I just saw your mug on ESPN, which, while I was in college, was a frequent occurrence because you play in the band and that's what happens. I think Bryce Brown punched the defensive lineman in the face. It doesn't really matter. You really don't punch Sheldon Richardson in the face.
Not him, anyway.
So thank you to them. I had a great time. It probably will be the last time I play my horn, except for either my kids or my nieces and nephews or whatnot. Maybe Seth's kids, but since I don't think he has any musical talent, so maybe I'll help him out with that one. And so thanks to everybody for showing up, for coming out. And, you know, it was really sad to see the Orange lose the first game. But this is, and we'll get into this as the winter goes on, but right now I don't see this as a tournament team, and that's pretty sad. So, Seth, you're up 2 minutes ago.
And Evan actually has just posted the dance cam on Facebook. So a couple things. Number one, I want to thank Evan Lipton and Carly Fink for joining us tonight on the show. I think they were both pretty entertaining in their own ways. I think Evan, I'm trying to convince Evan to start a wrestling podcast. It'd be fantastic. Eric Berry, best of luck. The lymphoma that they found today on his chest. Really solid player who's dealt with a lot physically over the last couple of years. We didn't get a chance to talk about Odell Beckham's catch. I'm curious where, you know, we'll talk about it a little bit next week if we don't forget, where that ranks among the greatest catches you've ever seen. Not from a importance perspective, but from a physical catch perspective. There's a couple. Also, want to talk Seal Moore, leading, you know, great, having a great year for the Raiders, which sounds kind of like a, you know, an anomaly, but one of the stupider plays you'll ever see, celebrating the backfield to go while Kansas
City. The Raiders, yeah. You may never get to do that again.
That is true. While Kansas City is trying to drive for a game tying or game winning score, and the Raiders have to waste time out. Really, you know, grow up. We're almost in college football basketball season. We're not really quite there yet, but we'll be talking that a little bit soon. Next week, we didn't really get a chance to talk about Sean's dating life, so maybe we'll hit on that then. We'll talk Thanksgiving football. We'll talk college football. We'll talk a little bit of everything. As always, it's been a pleasure. Caymans, Back Sports Page Radio, Blog Talk on the Internet, the Seth and Sean Sports Radio Show. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
See ya.